So in this podcast, we talk about a lot of diverse subjects, photography, music. But what are we going to be talking about this week? Well, let me show you. It's going to be one of those episodes where we talk about just one thing, or more specifically, one place. It's another podcast from an amusement park. Let's talk some coasters. Today, I'm sitting here in Idaho. Coming up next on the CoasterGallery.com podcast. This is episode 1212 of the CoasterGallery.com podcast. Thank you for listening. My name is Joel, and today I'm going to play a recording I did in late September 2012. Neat little park with four roller coasters. I'm going to play an interview I did with their director of social media and public relations, Lane Pitcher. There are a couple little clips I recorded along my day, and then have some concluding thoughts afterwards. So let's go right to the interview. Well, it's time for another in-park interview, and I'm here in northern Idaho, just about 15, 20 minutes north of Coeur d'Alene, or about an hour from Spokane, Washington. And I'm here at Silverwood Theme Park, and I'm here with Lane. Lane, can you tell me a little bit about what you do here for the park?
Yeah, name's Lane Pitcher. I'm the social media manager for the park, although I've gotten a chance to try on a whole bunch of hats. I've been here for quite a while, so you know, you get a chance to see all the different parts of how the theme park works.
Okay, and I must admit that I have mixed emotions about the park, because the coaster guy in me really likes these coasters, but the pilot guy in me is a little offended, because I hear there was an airport here that has since closed down. So tell me a little bit about the park history.
Yeah, it's a really interesting park history. The owner, Gary Norton, who is actually still very, very involved with the day-to-day, you know, decisions in the park, direction it goes, originally he brought it as Henley Aerodrome, which was an airstrip, had a little place called the Wingover. Guys like him that loved aviation and could just really enjoy, you know, flying in and hanging out with other guys that had kind of those same interests. They came in here, got a burger, fry, and coffee, and, you know, and hung out. And he bought that as kind of his love of aviation. In fact, he had an antique plane museum out here at one point.
Right.
All sorts of things like that. But, you know, he was at an auction down in Reno, Nevada, looking at planes, and found this 1915 steam locomotive that he just fell in love with. He actually outbid Disney Corporation to bring it up here to North Idaho. And once he had it, he had to do something with it. So he built a downtown area, which we call Main Street today. Okay. Laid out some track with him and some of his buddies, and quickly discovered he's in over his head. But, you know, it had 100,000 people come out that first year, and that's kind of the start of Silverwood Theme Park back in 1988.
I saw the train. I haven't been on it. It does look gorgeous. I mean, there's a neat history there. It's, you know, a real authentic steam train, and I have no idea where it goes, but I'll go for a ride. Let's switch gears a little bit and talk about the coasters. Maybe we'll go in reverse chronological order. I know your newest one is Aftershock, and again, you'll see the pictures and the video on CoasterGallery.com, but give me the brief thumbnail description of what that wacky ride is.
Scary. Very, very scary.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a neat coaster. We brought that one from Chicago Great America, mm-hmm. It has kind of an interesting history to it. When we brought it here, worked with Vacoma, who designed the ride, and to really get it up to where it needed to be. So it has a pretty consistent, it's up consistently now. It runs great, and the best part about that, from a standpoint of somebody who gets to walk around the park and see that every day, is just watching our guests, because people don't start screaming when we drop them down that 1 foot spike. They start screaming on the way up, because you're just laying on your harness looking straight at the ground. It's a great adrenaline rush and awesome, because you get to do that twice, once forward and once backwards on that one.
And I will admit that I just rode it. I did not get the front seat. I don't know if that was because I didn't want to wait for it or if it was my fear, but it's kind of like four abreast seating, that the outside two seats are a lot further away from the center line and a pretty good view. And I will admit that is very intimidating, going up that first spike when you're looking face forward. Okay, there are two wooden coasters, and I haven't been on them yet, but spoiler alert, I hear some of them go underground. So tell me about the wooden ones.
Absolutely. So our wooden ones really came at a point where the park was really became more of a destination in the late 90s. You first had Timber Terror, and then Tremors came shortly thereafter, a year or two. And both those coasters, great coasters. Tremors, you know, does very well in some of the coaster enthusiast rankings, I think, every year. But Timber Terror, more of an air coaster. You've got a lot of camelbacks, and you get a lot of that, you know, lifted out of your seat feeling. You know, we like to say that we get a lot of air between your seat and ours. And Tremors, more of the themed ride. You got, you know, places where the wood looks a little broken or things like that. It's themed out to that, you know, that earthquake, distressed, you know, type of reaction. And you get to go underground four times, including that first drop off the lift hill. So,
very cool.
Yeah.
And then was the first coaster the Corkscrew? Was that where the park started adding coasters?
That was. I already talked about the train and kind of the history of that starting up. You know, shortly after Gary Norton, you know, added that train, he realized that either he's going to have to grow this or bag it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's not one for quitting, so he wanted to grow it. He went out and got Corkscrew and a couple other rides. And, you know, Corkscrew, of course, a very historic coaster, came from Knott's Berry Farm to us. And we're very happy to preserve that ride and still have it operating here at the park.
And I think that was the first looping Corkscrew coaster in the U.S. when it opened back in 1975-ish, I think. So, neat piece of history. And I never rode it when it was at Knott's Berry Farm, so it'll be a new one for me. Again, it's a little hard to describe stuff for an audio podcast, but tell me a little bit about just the look and theme of this park. I'm very impressed. It's very clean. It's very beautiful. There's just some amazing flowers. We're standing here, all sorts of neat little birdhouses and plants and trees and stuff. How do you describe the look and the feel of the park to somebody who's never been here?
You know, we just try and make it better and better every year. Of course, we want people to come out and have fun on the rides. You got your general rides and your family rides and your kids' rides. But you want to kind of have that ambience, just that atmosphere where people can, you know, like, I'm in a really nice environment and I can enjoy this. And, you know, it's not one of those things where you walk into the park and say, wow, nice flowers. But, you know, you come into the area and just everything's put together and manicured, and it turns into an atmosphere where you really feel like you can just relax and enjoy the time with your family.
Okay. And here's the part where you probably won't give me an answer, but I'm going to ask anyway. I see a lot of new things at the front of the park. You're gearing up for the Halloween stuff. Any clues or hints or any thoughts for next year, or is it a little too early to be asking about 2013?
I'll be honest, it's a little too early. You know, as a family-owned park, you know, we make our decisions a little quick around here. I remember when we put in Aftershock, the September of the year before that went in is when that decision was to purchase it. Okay. And so, you know, we're right on that edge. And you never know. But, you know, of course, the Silverwood's strategy is the growth, and, you know, you either grow in this business or you die. And so, you know, there's always going to be something new out here. And, you know, we've got some new plans for even Scarywood that's coming right around the corner, too. So,
well, I saw some 3D something being built. What was the 3D sign that I walked by for Scarywood?
Yeah, we've got a new attraction this year, 3 Dementia. You know, Scarywood is kind of a new endeavor for us. We've only been doing it for, you know, a couple of years now. And we're, every year we've tried to add some new attractions. It was definitely an experiment the first year. And I think the second year we came back roaring our first really, truly, you know, top-notch haunted attraction, Blood Bayou. I think this year we'll have a great attraction with 3 Dementia. Okay. It's got over 4,800 square feet of 3D scares and fun. So,
it's end of September here, so I think I'm just here a couple weeks too early, but I'm stuck with my schedule. There is a water park. I haven't even set foot in it, and I'm not even sure this late in the season if it's open, but can you give me the thumbnail sketch of the water park?
Yeah, it's not open this time of year. We usually open that first part of June through Labor Day weekend, so it's closed this time of year. But it was an incredibly popular attraction. It was added in 2003. We doubled the size of the water park again in 2007. So right now, you've got some speed slides, some tube slides. You've got a lazy river, two children's play structures. We've got two 22,000 square foot wave pools, and then two family rafting rides, both of which cascade down its own mountain and into a valley, about a 70-foot structure altogether.
Excellent. Well, Lane, thanks for taking the time out of your schedule and showing me around the park. And I need some time to go ride some roller coasters because, like I said, there are three of them here I haven't even hit yet. So thanks a lot, and thanks, everybody, for listening to the CoasterGallery.com podcast.
Well, at this point in the podcast, I'm going to step away from my recordings in the park back to the home studio to talk a little bit about my experiences at Silverwood. You know, I had a really great day that day. That was my first trip to the park, and I was so pleasantly surprised. It's such a nice park, fabulously friendly employees. I love the little old-timey uniforms they had. And it's exciting to see a park that's growing. When I was there in September of 2012, they're working on a huge development for the main entrance. The little two-lane highway that goes to and from the park is being expanded to a big four- or five-lane highway. There's, you know, signs of growth for the Halloween festivities. And I've heard rumors of big expansion in 2014. Of course, those are just rumors. So we'll see if anything actually happens with that. A couple things I want to say about the roller coasters. Tremors was a lot of fun. Four tunnels on this ride. The thing goes underneath and through the gift shop. I spent a lot of time just at the gift shop watching the ride go. The first hill plunges right underneath and then exits through the gift shop. It's just a cool effect. I know it's kind of a gag, but it's a unique gag. I don't know of any other rides here in North America that do anything similar to that. So that was fun, just to sit and watch this thing go screaming through the shop. And pretty well soundproofed. It was not unbearable to be standing next to or above the track as the train went screaming by. The other thing, if you go to CoasterGallery.com, I hope you look through not just the pictures, but also the text. I spent a lot of time talking to one of the mechanics there, found some neat things. One of the interesting things on Tremors is that they've replaced about 700 feet of the track with this new Rocky Mountain Topper track. I just recorded an interview with Jeff, and I know that I was going to do it like a month ago, but with the Hurricane Sandy and some other issues, we've pushed that interview back. But we talked about these looping coasters that may or may not be wood. It gets into a kind of gray area. It used to be the definition of wooden coaster was that it was wooden track. It was 7, 8, 9 layers of wood stacked on top of one each other with a little metal strip for the wheels to run on. Well, the topper track replaces these two top layers of wood with metal and actually pour in, pump in like a grout, it's like a concrete to stiffen it. I tell you what, it's a noticeably smoother ride. Their topper track was a couple years old. It was some of the first made, so it was kind of a test. And I know that the Rocky Mountain construction guys wanted to sell several thousand feet of it, and the park said, well, let's just try 700 feet first. It has, according to the maintenance guy I talked to, it has made their life easier. There's less required maintenance. You know, a wooden coaster is nonstop battle to keep it well-maintained. And, hey, if this helps them make it a little bit easier, I think it's nice. Now, whether or not you consider it a wooden coaster, it's a little bit debatable, but I thought it was cool. Now here comes kind of the controversial part of the podcast. Aftershock, which was known as Deja Vu when it was at Six Flags just outside of Chicago. I've got a troubled history with these troubled rides. When Vekoma built three of these for Six Flags in the early 2000s, they were just notoriously unreliable. They opened late, they didn't run well. And I saw all three, the one in Georgia, the one in California, the one in Illinois. Every time I went to see these three rides, they weren't running. So I had never been on a Deja Vu. Well, one of those relocated to Six Flags New England. One of them is this one. I didn't get to the one in New England here. It just relocated there in 2012. But I was glad that I finally got my first ride on one of these giant in Vertigos. That being said, since I was 0 for 3 before, you know, maybe you had better luck, maybe it was just my bad luck, I don't know, but they definitely had issues with them. According to the folks at Silverwood, though, they made a lot of modifications. They increased the redundancy, there are a lot of new sensors, these proximity sensors have been replaced by some more weatherproof models, they've made some modifications on how they operate it and how they inspect it, and according to the folks that I've talked to at the park, it's running fine. According to my time at the park, it's running fine. So I really hope it is. It's a neat ride. Now, it's very strong. It's not real smooth. It's not something I would want to ride over and over. But it's a huge presence in that park. Well, for any park, it's a big ride. It's so much taller. You know, you think these Vekoma boomerangs and even the Invertigos, this thing is so much taller. That vertical loop and then the Cobra roll is just so much taller than a typical Boomerang. So it's an imposing presence. I'm glad the park's making it work. It's neat for a little park like this to really jump into a big ride. I enjoyed my time on it. Like I said, I'm not going to ride it a lot of times because it was pretty strong, but it's intimidating. It's a strong ride, and boy, that view as you're going face down is it'll get your heart pumping, no doubt. Well, as always, I'm curious to hear what you think about these podcasts. Do you like the ones in the park? Do you hate them? Do you want to learn more about photography or music? Let me know. Joel@CoasterGallery.com, Facebook.com/CoasterGallery, Twitter's @CoasterGallery, G+, they still have these long series of digits. There's no shortcut for that, but just look up CoasterGallery.com on G+. Let me know what you want to hear more of. I like roller coasters, and I intend to do a lot of traveling next year and do more of these podcasts, but let me know if it's too much or you want to change the direction of this podcast. Whatever it is, I'd like to hear your thoughts, so let me know. Now I will throw it back to, well, myself, my past self 2 months ago as I was wrapping up my day. But before I go, here comes the shameless plug. Go to CoasterGallery.com and look at all the Silverwood videos and pictures I took. There's some nice ones there if I am allowed to brag. Well, my day here at Silverwood has ended. What a fun day. Four neat coasters, a beautiful park nestled in the hills here in northern Idaho. Kind of a hidden treasure. Really not a lot of people around here in the area, but the park was sure full for the end of September. And it's great to see a park doing well. They're growing, they're expanding, they have room that they can add more stuff. So wish them the best of luck. If you're ever in this area, Spokane, Washington, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, come up this way. Check out Silverwood. It's a lot of fun. Well, thanks for listening to this week's CoasterGallery.com podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you go and do something out there this week to have some fun yourself. Bye-bye now. Amusement park fact number 812. Silverwood Theme Park has more banjo music and fiddle music than any other amusement park in the lower 48. That is all.